Coming up on this special Locked On Dodgers, Locked On Padres crossover episode, we will preview the final regular season series between the Dodgers and Padres, which starts today. And based on our past history, I will make fun of Javi a lot, and Javi will laugh and just take it. So let's Locked On Dodgers and Locked On Padres. Oh, we don't have a starting song to put in. Normally, yeah, I throw in the Locked On Dodgers video, but you know, this is a crossover. We can't. There's probably six or eight Padre fans watching this episode too, and we don't want to alienate them right off the bat. So I hope they're not too loyal to you, Javi, because if so, then we probably will alienate them at some point in this episode.
Yeah, we got to be careful of that. I got to be careful not to say anything whatsoever that admits that the Dodgers are a good team. They'll get mad at me if I do that as well. So you gotta hang on to what you have. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You gotta hang on to what you have the same way the Padres are hanging on to this wild card spot right now.
Yeah. Welcome to Locked On Walking on Eggshells. Are we allowed to talk about Eric Hosmer?
Yes, 100%. Ever since he left the team, he's fully allowed. I can say it. It's great.
You acknowledge his existence once again?
I acknowledge his existence. He went to the Red Sox, which was picked in a lot of ways, since I hate every Boston team at all of Boston sports. So it was perfect. And then my one friend who's a Red Sox fan texted me and was like, oh my God. Like, he's like, wait, you were watching this for how long? Like, yeah, like 4 or 5 years, you know. It was pretty rough. Yeah, I think he had like actually a double in his first game, but then after that, that was it.
Yeah,
but unfortunately they replaced him with not necessarily a great crop of new folks here. Although,
yeah, I was just gonna say, didn't they just get the switch hitting version of Eric Hosmer and to replace
him?
They
basically did. I know that Josh Bell, when he first got to the team, his ground ball rate was among the highest in baseball for his tenure in Padres, not beforehand. And now he's batting under 200. His on base is not slugging the ball whatsoever. That's really unfortunate. But still the bad mojo and vibes. Like, you could be performing like, what's his name? Like Chris Davis, the year that he almost broke like the hitless record, and still the vibe would have felt better. I'm being so serious when I say that. The Hosmer vibe of just this guy who was getting all sorts of defense for no reason, seemingly, by everybody, from Machado to media to random fans. It was really frustrating having this guy on the team. And he kind of got his last laugh, because in order for the trade to go through, the Padres had to send Luke Voit to the Nationals, who I miss very dearly, even if he was a flawed player. So he did get one last little to the Padres fans, I think so.
The Nationals don't have a rule about having to have your jersey buttoned up, do they?
No, I don't think so. I don't think
so. So Luke Voit can still be Luke Voit.
He's still killing it over there.
At least buy an undershirt, Luke. Come on.
I know, right? But I like, there was this funny video. I think it was a game against, I think it was in Petco. I think it might have been against the Rockies or something. There was this little kid who was like imitating him. And I was like, that's so funny. Like, he walks over and they do the little thing. I thought that was hilarious.
We should all have Luke Voit's confidence, because Luke Voit, like, obviously he's a big, strong man and everything. Mm-hmm. He is not the most well-built player in the major leagues.
No.
And yet he opens up that jersey like he's Giancarlo Stanton or Starling Marte or somebody who like really has something to show off, and he's just Luke Voit, but you know, he seems happy about it. So, and you know, at least Justin Turner wears an undershirt, you know, Justin Turner has the same button issue as Luke Voit, but Justin Turner says, you know what? My dad bod, I'm going to wear an undershirt.
Yeah, he does do that. But again, like you said, I respect the confidence, man. I respect the confidence, especially after getting tossed out of the New York land and then going to the Padres and now the Nationals. I think he is what he is. He's going to hit you some home runs. Unfortunately, going to strike out a lot, be very streaky. But hey, love him so much. Hosmer, I'm good. I'm good. And it's great that I can say his name now. I know that there's been players on the Dodgers that have struggled a little bit that have also, you know, that like you have the Joey Gallo, who was basically the Yankees equivalent of Hosmer on a little bit of a smaller scale, because he wasn't with the Yankees as long, who's now with the Dodgers. And I don't know, I was genuinely happy for the guy when that happened. And I'm not just saying because the Dodgers or whatever, but it was like, all right, you go to this organization that tends to get the best out of quite literally everybody, whether it be Andrew Heaney, by the way, another former Yankee who was seen crying in the dugout at one point. Instead, he's a pretty effective pitcher. And then you have Joey Gallo go over there, and I haven't been following him too much, but he's got to be doing better than what he was doing with the Yankees. I know his defense ticked up a little bit. And the other thing is, man, that New Jersey article that came out, I think it was like a couple days before the deadline. I was just like, come on, guys. This is like, I feel so bad. And when he went to the Dodgers, I was like, yeah, he'll be fine. And I think that I want to bring this around to our conversation because it should be really emphasized that the Padres fans, I should say, should look at why is it that these guys keep going to the Dodgers and becoming good? Maybe, Jeff, it might be because they kind of have an idea of what they're doing and it's not just building a fantasy team. And you're just saying, this guy's hitting 300, get him. Instead, they're targeting usually a lot of lower cost players. They're certainly paying a lot, obviously, but they go out and find decent guys who can do what they need them to do. And then they come in, they make them better and vice versa. So that has to be emphasized a lot. We talk about this a lot, whatever we do a crossover. The Padres fans like to say, what's the cute little phrase they came up with? Hold on. It's like a reverse of the bought, not built. There we go. Right. They love saying that. And it's like 30% true. Maybe that might even be a little bit high because yes, Mookie. And again, I hate the Boston Red Sox for this exact reason. I hate them so much. Yeah. There's a lot of money involved there. They did exchange some prospects, but still there's money involved there. They want to keep Trey Turner and they're paying him a decent amount. They've had a lot of players. They got paid back in the day. Remember that? Remember Manny? Yeah, that was fun. Yeah. Those were good days, right?
I do. It was a weird time.
It was a weird time. I remember how much I didn't like Manny Ramirez. And he had that conference where he's like, I'm back. It was like the funniest thing.
Oh, good old man.
It was like he was talking to me because he knew how much I couldn't stand him. That is to say, it's not all just paying. And I think that what happened with the Padres at the deadline, you're seeing guys like they've traded for literally everybody.
Yeah, that's the funny thing about it being Padres fans who are saying that, you know, bought, not built. It's like, okay, who was it that gave Eric Hosmer that contract when every other team in baseball recognized we shouldn't give that much money to Eric Hosmer? You know, they signed Manny Machado. They, you know, like with Tatis out, like, do they have any homegrown players? And Tatis, I'm giving him credit for being homegrown. They traded for him when he wasn't a huge prospect, you know. Mm-hmm. Other than that, it's like, you know, they're starting rotation. It's like Yu Darvish, Blake Snell, Joe Musgrove, you know, Mike Clevinger, all these guys. They didn't produce those guys, you know, and I don't care. Like, that's the thing. There's so many different ways to create, to put together a baseball team. One of them is drafting and developing players, which the Dodgers are very good at, which is why they have Clayton Kershaw, Walker Buehler, Dustin May, Will Smith, Gavin Lux, you know, a long list of guys, Cody Bellinger. You know, there's also picking guys up off the scrap heap, like Justin Turner, Max Muncy, and Chris Taylor. Mm-hmm. And there's free agency and, you know, which is Freddie Freeman. Really, it's just Freddie Freeman. And then the other ones, it's you trade for guys, you know, and we have these prospects. Hey, guess what, Red Sox? We're going to give up Alex Verdugo, who we really, really like, and Jeter Downs, and whatever the guy's name is, last name Wong, for Mookie Betts and David Price. And we'll take David Price off your hands. We'll pay some of his contract, you know. So they're using their money there. But, yeah, I mean, the fact is there's a lot of ways to build a baseball team, and the Dodgers are pretty darn good at all of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not that the Padres are necessarily foolish. I still stand by the Soto trade. I think everyone does. And I think that it's really key to note that Soto is really, truly like a top five talent in the league. I was very vocal about saying I just didn't think that was the only thing they could do at the deadline. I obviously was amped. It was exciting. It was fun. It was fun for me and my pod. But I thought they could build a little bit differently. And I think that fans sometimes have to remember that it's not because my opinion on trading prospects isn't that I'm reticent to do it because I think that particular prospect is the next Cody Bellinger when he was still good. He's the next Aaron Judge. He's the next, heck, Brian Reynolds even. Like, it give you like a fringe pretty good player. It's not that. It's more just having that friggin' space feels so good. And that's part of the Dodgers too. And it's funny because speaking of drafting, like go Google the 2016 Dodgers draft class. It's pretty absurd what they got that year. It was, I'm just pulling up right now. Gavin Lux, Will Smith, Mitchell White, Dustin May, DJ Peters, Devin Smeltzer. And not all these guys are like superstars, but the fact that they became things. Tony Gonsolin is in this draft too, right? There's a lot of players in here that are at least things, and that's very rare. Zach McKinstry.
Yeah, aren't there like Graham 15 Ashcraft. Big leaguers from that draft already?
Yeah, it's like, and that's huge. People don't realize it's like, and yeah, there's some bangers in there, right? Like Lux becomes a little bit of something, Gonsolin, right? Dustin May, but and Will Smith, of course.
Best really catcher in baseball. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, perpetually kind of underrated. But you know, that's that just goes to show you it's not just the money thing, although that is a huge part of it. But hey man,
all right,
we'll see what happens, right?
Yeah, we're going to come back in a minute. We're going to talk about actually this series that's coming up, you know, and we'll get to the portion of the, I'm sure we'll get to the part where I make fun of you some. But first, I want to talk to everybody about Bet Online. Javi, click the buttons while I talk. Okay, Javi's clicking the buttons. So betonline.net is your number one source for football betting info this season. Find all the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, and in-depth articles and analysis on every game you can find. And as always, BetOnline remains your number one continued source for all your sports wagering information with live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. Every sport. The fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite games and events, including MLB, MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to BetOnline.net or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, so if you are betting on this series, I don't know, Javi. I won't ask you who you would bet on because you know, you probably have a conflict of interest there, but it's kind of an interesting series simply because the Dodgers are kind of playing for something. The Padres are playing for more than the Dodgers are, but also the Padres are in pretty good, you know, they don't really have, you know, they're fighting for home field advantage, I guess. No, because even that, they're really, it's, are you going to play the Braves or the Mets? Or the Braves or the Cardinals in the opening series. And in some ways, it seems like you'd probably rather be the last wild card seed than the second one, because MLB is just allergic to good ideas. Like they just avoid them like the plague. And,
agreed.
You know, why? I don't understand. Like I do understand. They want to put value on winning the division. But once you've done that, they should reseed, you know, and if, okay, we know who, what four teams are playing in the NLDS. And now let's do that based on record, because as it is right now, if the Padres stay where they are, they're currently the second wildcard seed. They would play the Braves in the opening round. And if not the Braves, then the Mets, you know, if the Braves can overtake the Mets, that's a really tough first round matchup. Whereas the Phillies as the third wildcard spot, we get to face the Cardinals, who are a solid team, but probably not as good a team as the Braves or the Mets, if we're dealing in understatements here. So, yeah, I don't know. How do you feel? Do you anticipate the Padres doing anything to try to get that third spot instead of the second spot?
First of all, I will say the Phillies-Cardinals potential series is like the most diametrically opposed teams, where one is just solid and good.
Hey, team that catches everything against team that catches nothing.
Catches nothing. And then like the Phillies, they do have some good starting pitchers, but like, it's just very, that would be like a wild series to watch.
You can make everybody on the Cardinals play out of position and they would still have a better defensive team than the Phillies. Yep, you can make pull names out of hat. Today's starting shortstop, Paul Goldschmidt. Better than whoever starting at short for the Phillies.
Exactly. Yadier Molina, go play center field. Why?
I don't know. Let's not push it that far.
No, I know. Look, I'm gonna be mean. Bring on Atlanta, man. I don't care. All right. You know why? Because I've watched the sports world for a long time. I've watched the Atlanta Hawks. And most importantly, I've watched the Atlanta Falcons. You won your World Series. Congrats. Honestly, an unbelievably well-run team, too. I'm kind of, you know, they got a little bit gun shy at one point. You know, they hung on to their guys for a little bit, but then they decided, let's do the thing where we take advantage of the fact that play the arbitration process and just sign our guys now. And I think that clearly there's some trust there. Even if they could make more later, they're like, how about we just give you a pretty good deal right now? So shouts to the Braves with that. But for the most part, they've had a lot of blown leads, including to your team back in 2020, right? I think it was 2020.
Yes, sir.
Yes, it was in 2020, the 3-1 lead. You have the Falcons, all this stuff. So my thing is, if anyone can blow it, it's the Atlanta Braves. On paper, though, oh my God, the Braves are infinitely better. But either way, there's going to be a team that's probably better than the Padres. And some people will say, well, the Cardinals, they just beat them 2 out of 3. That is true. It was a good series for the Padres. And their starting rotation, the Trinity that they have going, can match up with basically any starting three, I think, especially come playoff time with Blake Snell, Joe Musgrove, and Yu Darvish. But the Cardinals also, they're just such a well-built team. And they have that stupid Cardinals BS where you know Miles Michaelis is going to come in and throw 6 scoreless innings for some reason. And then you know
Miles Michaelis is the biggest mystery in baseball to me. I don't understand how Miles Michaelis exists. Like he's the Merrill Kelly of the Cardinals. Like they are the same person. And it's like, hey, look, I don't know who you are. I don't know where you came from. I know you're not good. So why are you pitching well?
It's like, I'm trying to think of another one. It was it Brandon McCarthy for the Dodgers who was good randomly? I can't remember.
Are you thinking of Brett Anderson? He was really good there for a couple of years.
There we go. Yeah, that's one.
Oh, and who was the dude pitched for the Mariners? Like, and he had been bad his whole career. He had a good season for the Mariners, got an extension, and then immediately fell off a cliff.
What year?
Probably 3 or 4 years ago. I would guess 2018 or 2019. It's all right. Next
time. Did he go to the Yankees too?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
I'll find this one next time you're talking. So you say whatever you're going to say next, and I'll ignore you while I'm looking up who this guy is.
I think I know who you're talking about too. It's like something.
Wade LeBlanc. You should remember that.
There we go. Yes. Padre. Yes. Wade LeBlanc. I knew it was. All right. There we go. They had that other guy who was pretty decent too, who had like more than one good year, but he was always hurt.
Yeah.
I think that, look, it's, I forgot what the question was, to be perfectly honest. But I will say, I think
we're just talking about who the Padres would rather face in the postseason. And if it is the Braves, I think the division series is a good time to face the Braves because there's a chance Spencer Strider's going to be out. I mean, there's a chance Spencer Strider's going to miss the whole postseason if it, you know, obliques are notoriously hard to predict and long to recover from. But I think his chances of missing the division series are pretty high. And so, you know, obviously Max Fried and Kyle Wright are still good pitchers, but missing Spencer Strider, that's definitely an advantage. I know Padre fans are intimately familiar with missing good starting pitchers in the division series and then using that as an excuse for the next couple of years.
No.
Maybe not
no,
you. If I had a nickel for every time I heard, well, if Clevinger and Lamet hadn't been hurt, then we would have scored more than 3 runs in 3 games or whatever.
This is a great encapsulation of the bubbles that we're both in. Because from my perspective, I literally remember what I was doing. I was playing Mario Party on my Switch, and all of a sudden some Dodger fan just tweeted at me like, how did it feel to get swept, bro? And all these things. I was like, hey, the pitchers were out. Like that has a part to play with it. It was like some fifth rotation start. So I'm like, what is going on here? I was just minding my own business. So
you,
I don't know.
You and my old college roommate are the only Padre fans I interact with on a regular basis. he actually listens to your show. Hey Toof, what's up?
What's up?
His real name's Aaron, but his last name's Sabi. And so dumb college nickname. I started calling him Toof, like a Sabi Toof Tiger. So T-O-O-F is his name. And yeah, every time I go over to his house these days and his wife calls him Aaron, I'm like, who the crap is Aaron? This is Toof. Learn his name, Amy. Now that I've mentioned Aaron and Amy Sabi on this podcast, Padre fans, you know, I don't actually know if Amy cares about baseball at all, but Toof's a big Padre fan. And the other downside of if the Padres were to try to maneuver into that third wildcard spot is the Brewers are only 1.5 games out of that spot, which means that the Padres are 3 games ahead of the Brewers. They're in pretty good shape there. But that I think that's why as a baseball team, you never try to lose or even don't play your hardest for any particular seeding ideas, because how bad would it be if they said, oh, we'd rather have the third wildcard spot, and then the Brewers get hot and they end up getting bounced out of the postseason altogether.
The Brewers are, with the exception of the Dodgers, although it's close, at least for this year, And even more than the Red Sox, because everybody hates the Red Sox right now because of how horrible their GM has been going lately. My most hated team. And I cannot stand the idea of the Brewers being in the playoffs. And especially my some friends would make fun of me and be like, how funny would it be if they trade you Hader and then beat you into the playoffs? And I would be livid if that happened. Hopefully it doesn't. Congratulations, first of all, to whoever plays Milwaukee if they make the playoffs. Congrats on the first round bye. I'm really excited for the three runs they'll get from two Willy Adames home runs and an RBI double from Hunter Renfrow or whatever the heck, and then that's it. That's all they'll score for the rest of the series. And of course, again, for your listeners, I hate the Brewers because they have a really solid foundation. Their players aren't entering free agency in a while. They don't spend whatsoever. And they convince their fans that Andrew McCutchen and Hunter Renfrow, former Padre, of course, are going to be like, wow, great additions, awesome stuff. It's like all you did at the deadline is the first place team was trade away one of your best assets. That's all they did. You can't, yeah. I don't want to praise the Brewers for only, even if it might have been a good trade, only trading away. If you countered that and also went and got, name someone, Benintendi, I don't know what the heck the Brewers need, but like, then I'd be like, okay, you did a deadline. I'm not just going to give you credit for kicking the can down the road. I think it's dumb and I hate the Brewers, but.
I do want to congratulate you, Javi, on being the first person ever to have strong feelings about the Brewers.
No, I know. That's why I'm making it my thing, by the way, because I know nobody hates the Brewers as much as I do.
So my family, I was born into a Dodger family. You know, my dad grew up in LA. He was 4 years old when the Dodgers moved to LA. And they became a Dodgers family. So I was born into a Dodgers family, you know, but in my family, I have three brothers and two sisters, and all of us like the Dodgers, except two of my brothers, my oldest brother and my little brother, don't care about baseball one way or the other, you know, to the extent that they care, they're Dodger fans, but they don't care about baseball. And my little brother, actually, just to be contrarian, he used to say his favorite team was the Brewers because that was the most random team that he could think of. Like, why would anybody care about the Brewers? And so that's it always makes me laugh. Like, seriously, you might be the first person I've ever met. The guy who does the Locked On Today show, can't remember his name right now. I've been on his show several times. Peter Bukowski, he's a Brewers fan, and so I've heard him say several swear words related to the Brewers. But other than that, it's like, I don't know. I guess people care, but nobody. I know.
I know what you mean. My one friend who chose the Royals because he wanted a new team and just loaded up MLB like 07, the show, and was like, whoever is the lowest ranked team, like, that's who I'll be a fan of. And it actually worked out well for him.
That the pre-Hosmer Royals?
I'm going to assume so, yeah. I think it was probably
Hosmer probably would have come up in about 2010 or so, huh?
It was like beginning of Alex Gordon, I think, Royals.
I think Hosmer's rookie card was the same set as Mike Trout's. So 2011 Topps update, I think. So,
yeah. Oh, man. God. But seriously, like, I'm in such a good mood knowing he's not on this team. It's just so nice. I don't care. But yeah.
So we got this series coming up. You know?
Yeah, we got the series coming up.
Now that we're 23 and a half minutes into this episode. So a series between the Dodgers and Padres, huh? You know, and I mentioned Padres are playing for the postseason, kind of. They don't totally. What do you know what their magic number is to clinch a postseason spot?
I believe it's six. I believe.
Okay. With nine games left. And looking at the schedule, you know, obviously the three with the Dodgers could go either way. Then you got three with the White Sox, three with the Giants. The White Sox and the Giants are both teams that aren't playing for anything anymore. You know, the Giants have already been mathematically eliminated. The White Sox either have been mathematically eliminated or are very close. Let's see. They are 7.5 games out of the last wildcard spot with nine games to play. So they're essentially playing for nothing. And sometimes those things can, playing just to play spoiler, which can be meaningful. You know, it can be, are you worried about, putting aside the three with the Dodgers, are you worried about any of those games with the White Sox or the Giants about them spoiling your season?
Believe it or not, not the Giants. And this is just going to be pure speculation and just vibes, but just like a bad aura around that Giants team right now. Maybe this is because of that Scott Nettles. I forgot his name, that had the little interaction that went semi-viral when he took him out of the game and he was upset about it. Maybe there's just like a bad aura around that team. The White Sox, I just fear stars in these situations, and they have them. I know they've been hurt. I know they've been beat up, but I can see a world in which you just get the – I don't know if Cease is going to be matched up. Dylan Cease is going to be matched up with the Padres, but I could see him being great, and then I could see, you know, they turn it around and Johnny Cueto has a good game, who they just picked up off the scrap heap. Then if whoever else is healthy on that team, right? Maybe Yoan Moncada shows up for a little bit, Eloy Jimenez, Luis Robert. Like, I don't know who's healthy on that team, Tim Anderson, but I do just fear the stardom there and that they might just want to end the season on a high note. Tony La Russa is not there anymore. So I fear them more than the Giants. I know they have Rodon. I don't care. Whatever. They can't score and their defense sucks. So that's my thing with the Giants. I'd be more afraid of the White Sox because they feel like spoiled, wasted talent. Well, the Giants seem like a team that, damn, you guys really just lucked out last year. Like, you guys just had a lot go your way. Great team. Very fun story. But Brandon Crawford was slugging like 4-8. Like, it feels like a fever dream, right?
Giants. I got yelled at so many times for insisting all year last year. I still believe the Dodgers are a better team than the Giants. And people are like, well, why are they trailing in the standings? It's like, because the best team always doesn't finish in first place, you know? But, you know, that you look at, I mean, if Sheldon Noisy learns how to stretch his arm, the Dodgers win the division last year. They literally lost the division because they lost a game because a force out at second to end the game. Sheldon Noisy caught the ball with his glove against his chest instead of sticking his arm out, and the guy beat the throw. You try to tell me that if Sheldon Noisy knew how to use his arms instead of acting like a T-Rex, that's all that was standing between the Dodgers being a better team than the Giants? And so this year, like, I don't care. I don't think about the Giants except when they're playing the Dodgers. But, you know, when they do play the Dodgers and I remember, oh, wow, they're really bad this year. I do think it's funny that you think that Zach Littell's name is Scott Needles. So that's, you know.
What am I getting? Craig Nettles? Like, what name am I getting?
Greg Nettles played in the 70s and 80s. And
oh God,
you're like the weird Fleer baseball card company. thinking his name is Craig because his name was Greg, but it was spelled G-R-A-I-G. And so a lot of people thought it was Craig, but it was actually Greg just spelled wrong. So, but no, he wasn't Zach Littell. Greg Nettles, as far as I know, has not had a verbal squabble with the Giants manager in the last few weeks. Man, Greg Nettles, he might, right, you know, and Greg Nettles yeah, did play for the Giants briefly, I think in the '80s, but, yeah, and so then you got the Dodgers, who aren't really playing for anything. They're playing for home field advantage in the World Series at this point. Their magic number for that is 4. If the Dodgers go 3-6 the rest of the way, they have home field advantage in the World Series, and because all 9 of their games are against the NL West, and so they'd have the tiebreaker over the Astros if they win 3 of those games. I don't know, like. I have no idea what to expect from this series. You know, we don't even know who's going to be pitching for either team on Thursday. We know on Tuesday, it's Julio. No, that's Wednesday. Oh, man, I got my tabs mixed up. One of the games is Tyler Anderson against Blake Snell. And the other game is Julio Urias against Joe Musgrove. And then it's TBA against TBA on Thursday. You threw out before we started recording, you threw out the idea of Sean Manaea starting that game for the Padres. And I don't know if you were just saying that because you like to see me smile or not, but you know, it's understandable if you were.
Got to do what you got to do, you know, you got to do what you got to do so you can do what you want to do, you know? Yeah, that look, pitchers have random good days. Sometimes it could happen. I saw some dude, Kyle Bradish go like nearly full 9 innings with no walks and 10 Ks the other day. Could happen. Maybe the Dodgers, they're partying a little bit too hard maybe the night before. You know, I know Trey Turner, big, big party guy. You know, Freddie, I mean, one of the biggest party guys in the league, right?
A party so, animal.
Yeah, party animals. So maybe they just show up and Freddie and his weird swing that is so good but also really weird and it visually makes me insane. Maybe they just have a little bit of a mess up day. It's Sean Manaea, the haired wonder that he is, right? Just comes
Freddie in. Freeman's a challenge because it's like you want to tell your kids, hey, just look at Freddie Freeman, just do it like he does. But you'd be a terrible player if you tried to do it like Freddie Freeman does, because only Freddie Freeman is capable of doing it how Freddie Freeman does. Everybody else, you're going to need to find a better role model for patterning your swing after. It's like, you know, you'd want to say, hey, Cody Bellinger, just watch Freddie Freeman for a while, you know, fix that, you know. And it's like, that'll make things even worse. You said before we started recording, you have an interesting question for me. Did you already ask that question?
No, not yet. It was just an observation.
Good, because I don't remember anything interesting happening so far. So I'm glad to know I didn't miss it.
Which is, well, first of all, I will say on Bellinger, just like, you probably talk about this all the time. Just it's hard to remember the last time an MVP candidate fell off like this. And I'm not quite sure what happened exactly. But more thing is, I don't remember the last time that, and maybe this is just because I can be in and out on understanding everything that's going on in the League of Baseball, but I don't remember the last time that seemingly nobody cared about both the AL and the NL like top teams. Like, they're not like a story. And I think that's part because people don't like the Dodgers. They don't hate them, though. I think it's more that it's just expected. And then the Astros, it is because people hate them, right? Like, Justin Verlander is probably going to win the Cy Young, and I haven't heard a peep about anyone talking about him. I swear, maybe it's just me, but you have to like look up the scores sometimes for me to remember like, wow, Verlander was really incredible this year, considering he missed the whole last year. Dodgers, it's like, okay, maybe it's just because everyone's expecting it, but I don't remember the last time it feels like the two top teams. You could throw the Yankees in there. Sure, I know. But technically, the Yankees aren't the top team. They're still like 9 games behind the Astros. I don't remember the last time that this happened. And maybe it's just because it's a little NBA going on where it's like Cavs Warriors again, and it's like Astros Dodgers again. I don't know. It's just the thing that I was thinking about the other day.
Yeah, I can see that. And, you know, maybe this comes down to our bubbles again, because the people I follow on Twitter are really excited about the Dodgers. But, you know, it's Dodger fans. And yeah, but, you know, it's one of those things where my wife tells me I say, you know, too much. So, you know, thanks for the criticism, wife. But, you know, I don't care. Like, it's one of those things as a baseball fan. Like, I don't need anybody else to care about my team. I care enough about them for everybody, you know, and I don't need to think about other teams. Like, you're talking about Justin Verlander. I think I remember hearing that he's had a very good season. I think he was hurt at one point this season and just recently came back. Other than that, I had to look up, like, I was pretty sure the Astros had the best record in the American League. But today when I was doing some calculations to figure out the Dodgers' magic number, I had to look up and make sure. I had no idea. Like, the Dodgers didn't play the Astros this year. And so I haven't thought about the Astros at all this year. Like, you know, I told you, I don't think about the Giants except when the Dodgers play them. I don't think about the Padres except when the Dodgers are playing them. Or when, you know, their magic number is, you know, because the Padres are in second place. So the Padres affect the Dodgers' magic number. It's like, as a Dodger fan, there's so much going on in my life, Dodgers related. I don't have time to care about what other teams are doing or what other fan bases think. And so, you know what, when the Dodgers win the World Series this year, I'm not going to feel sad that nobody's happy about it, because everybody I care about is going to be happy and you're going to be sad. And those are the two things that matter most to me in life, is me and my family being happy and Javi Peño being sad. That's all I need.
Hey, I mean, when have people ever been wrong about projecting the Astros or the Dodgers to win the World Series? I mean, come on, let's be real. It hasn't happened that often. So we'll see what happens.
I just did a whole long segment the other day on Locked On Dodgers about the fact that the MLB postseason is not, it's designed to be a tournament. It is not designed to even try to reward the best team in baseball. You know, back in before divisional era, when it was literally the winner of the National League against the winner of the American League, you had a pretty good chance, a 50-50 chance of the best team in baseball winning the World Series. These days, I mean, there's what, 12 teams making the playoffs this year? That's 6 times as many as there used to be, you know? And so every round of playoffs you adds more randomness to it. And, you know, it's a slightly different game because you only need 4 starters instead of 5. So deeper teams aren't rewarded as much in the postseason. You know, the reason that I still feel pretty good about the Dodgers is that they have a lot of really good hitters and a lot of really good pitchers. Yeah. And those two things generally work out well in baseball. When you pitch well and hit well, you often win games. And it is still baseball at the end of the day. And so people might be nervous about Tyler Anderson because he doesn't strike out many guys. So can he really hold down the third spot? Well, he's got the fifth best ERA in the National League without striking out many guys. Mm-hmm. And it's still baseball in the postseason. So, you know, if he goes and gives up four runs a game instead of 2.5, well, guess what? Dodgers offense should be able to score 5 runs a game, you know?
We'll see. We'll see. Yeah. I will say with the one Dodgers, if there's one chink in the armor, it's just Gonsolin and Tyler Anderson. They can go in and be amazing, or because, you know, it's going to be one of the a big stage for them playoff wise, or it's like the Luis Severino, who for the Yankees years ago was like their best pitcher, makes his debut is a little bit shaky. That's not an indictment of the skills of the pitcher, which is it's not an indictment of skills of a player, how they do in the postseason necessarily. That being said, yeah. Not looking forward to when Cody Bellinger inexplicably becomes Superman in like game 4 against probably my team.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, 3-1 and he hits a 2-run home run and it's like, why? This guy is can't hit anymore. So that's what it,
yeah.
Could you imagine that? Just a playoff specialist is what Cody Bellinger is.
Yeah. What I want. Well, first of all, I'm going to tell you something else. Then I'm going to tell you what I want in the postseason. You mentioned Gonsolin and Anderson. Gonsolin, he has experience in the postseason. He's pitched in the postseason the last 2 years. And so, you know, I'm not as worried about him and the, you know, the bright lights of October. Tyler Anderson, he's America's stepdad. You know, he is a grown man who married your mom, you know, like, I mean, he is that guy, and nothing phases Tyler Anderson. He came in, he married a woman with 6 kids. You know, that guy's been through it all. He didn't really marry a woman with 6 kids. This is all in the America's stepdad fiction that I've created.
Okay.
That's who Tyler Anderson is. He's a guy, nothing phases Tyler Anderson. It's like, you know, I was a terrible pitcher on a terrible team, and now I'm a great pitcher on a great team. I've done it all, man. I don't care about October. That's Tyler Anderson.
I've seen it all, man.
You know, I've been everywhere, man. Yeah. But what I want most in the postseason, you mentioned Cody Bellinger, October specialist. That would be awesome. What I want is a Dodgers-Yankees World Series. And I want the decisive game, ideally game 4 of a Dodgers sweep. I want the winning pitcher to be Andrew Heaney, and I want the winning run to be scored on a Joey Gallo home run against the Yankees. Those two things, like, I don't have anything against Yankees fans, but I think that mental breakdown of losing the World Series because of Andrew Heaney and Joey Gallo specifically would blow their minds, because the Yankee fans already have such strong feelings about those two players. And for them to beat the Yankees in the World Series, like, I think even as a Padres fan, you could root for that.
It's not bad. It is. It's not a bad tale. It's spicy. I like the Andrew Heaney, him crying in the dugout, which I mentioned earlier, that really made me so freaking sad, man. Like, that like hurt me. I was really sad. It wasn't even a cringe thing. I was just like, this stinks, because it must be really hard to perform there. And yeah, it wouldn't be too bad. It wouldn't be too bad. Even just a play, you know? Even just a home run against the Yankees would be pretty spicy. The Heaney thing would be great too. But yeah, I don't know. I think that the postseason doesn't have a lot of, it's just quiet right now. It's too quiet. The Mets are in it. I don't know what they're going to do. I think they're great, but there's just a lot of interesting players in the postseason there. I think Philly could go crazy. That's my thing. I think there's big Atlanta Boston vibes from last year. With especially Boston, very deeply flawed. Their starting pitching can be weird sometimes, and then the defense is whatever. But I could just see the Harper like just going nuts, and I could see Real Muto and Gene Segura. And is Castellanos healthy? I forgot. Hey, if anything bad happens, watch out. You don't want to play the Phillies, so that could happen. So, Phillies would be my team that I really could just see them getting hot. I really can. So, either way, wait, man. I need some playoff baseball. Jeez.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Dodgers and Padres have a series coming up. We've been going for 39 minutes and 23 seconds. If we hit the 40-minute mark, David Locke shows up in our room and pulls us off the stage with a cane. So we better wrap this up. Always fun talking to you. Looking forward to this series. You know, I didn't pick on you much. I didn't pick on the Padres much. You know, it should be a fun series.
Just talked. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was cool.
You know, talking baseball is not too bad sometimes.
Yeah. It wasn't too bad.
Yeah. But, you know, if you want to reach out to me, Locked On Dodgers, we're on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Vince, my normal co-host is on Twitter at Vince Semperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog. Email address lockdowndodgers@gmail.com. Phone number, voicemails and text messages, 323-863-LOCK-5625. And Javi, tell us how to get a hold of you.
At Javipeno, JAVIIPENO, and then at LO_Padres. Both accounts very fun sometimes. And then Locked On Padres on YouTube. Go check that out.
Yep. Always fun talking to you, Javi. Looking forward to this series. And maybe we'll have a postseason series and we'll get to do another crossover episode. But hopefully not, because hopefully the Padres lose in the first round and they're all sad. I don't care if they're all sad. I care that you're sad.
We have the Weapon X. He's coming for you.
Here comes Juan Soto. All right. See you, Javi.
See you, man.